Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper, and fandom alt. This is only the second episode, so I'm still learning, but I hope my enthusiasm will make up for any errors and hiccups. The topic of episode 2 is Doctor Who and the pairing of the Doctor and the River Song, for which I'll be joined by the lovely Mia, who loves this ship. What's a ship, you might ask? It's an abbreviation for relationship and can be used as a noun or verb. I ship Kirk/Spock, or my favorite ship is Spirk, meaning you would like to see Star Trek's Kirk and Spock as a couple. And in the second example, you're using one of the popular ship names, smushing their names together in a way that can be cutesy or cringy, depending on your point of view. This podcast, however, will be zero judgment, 100% squee, as fans talk about their ships, why they ship them, and which fanworks might make you ship them too. At the end, each guest will nominate the next fan to talk about their OTP, that's one true pairing, i.e. the ship they love the most, thus creating a multi-ship, multi-fandom chain of interviews. Het, i.e. straight couples, slash, meaning same-sex pairings, fictional characters, or even real people. The only limit is the imagination. Does that sound like something you might enjoy? Please give it a listen and let me know what you think. You can find the Shipping Cast on Tumblr at shippingcast or shippingcast.fandomish.net, where you can find links to subscribe on various podcasting platforms. There's also a Twitter, shipping_cast, or you can email me on the shippingcast@fandomish.net, where you can also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. So far, I've gotten positive feedbacks about last week's pilot episode. Thanks for that, my lovelies. I'm also open to questions and opinions about the ships we talk about or shipping in general. A note in advance. As mentioned before, this podcast is a judgment-free zone. My guests are here to share what they love, not to defend themselves. We ship and let ship here. And any flames, i.e. hateful messages, will be used to roast marshmallows, to use old-school fandom lingo. This expression dates me, I know. I'm actually 37 and have been writing fanfiction since I hit puberty. However, I only joined online fandom 18 years ago, which was also when I started writing in English. My native language is Swiss German, in case you were wondering, and I have the equivalent of an MA in cultural anthropology, media studies, and German literature. These days, I work an admin job in the renewable energy sector, and I spend my free time consuming media in the form of books, movies, TV shows, and podcasts. I find fandom fascinating, not just as a creative outlet in the form of writing, vidding, and gifing, and don't even start about the pronunciation, please, but as a cultural phenomenon. I hope I'm not the only one who loves to hear people talk about what they're passionate about. And there's few things fans are more passionate about than their ships. The ship that we focus on in each episode will be clearly stated in the title. So if you think that the ship will cause you distress or anger, please skip it. However, I think there are few people who don't like or at least tolerate the fascinating relationship between the Doctor and the mysterious River Song, who never meet in the right order, making for a rather unconventional courtship and marriage. I myself am definitely a shipper and a big fan of River, so much so that I've dressed up as her at multiple cons and even got a picture with the 11th Doctor himself, Matt Smith. I'll post a photo of that magical moment in the show notes if you're interested. But first, I'll be joined by the lovely Mia for quite a love fest. There's so much to squee about. Mia has many, many thoughts, not just about the relationship, but also about what makes River Song as a character so interesting to us and to the Doctor. We talk in depth about the convoluted canon with its many iterations of the Doctor and how his, or now her, life intertwines with River's, not just in canon and fanon, but also in the many tie-in media. And as always, there's plenty of gorgeous fanfic and fan art to share. Interestingly enough, lots of it starring the 13th Doctor. But let's get to it.
I Hi Mia, how nice of you to join me.
It's a pleasure.
So first of all, as people can hear, you're like me, not a native speaker. Where are you from? What can you tell us about yourself?
So I'm from Sofia, Bulgaria. I'm 22 years old. I've spent my entire life here, pretty much. It's my home. Well, not town, city, actually, as it happens to be the capital. I'm a full-time anthropology student and part-time retail worker. Writing has been a big hobby of mine, always. Hopefully one day, also professional direction to go in, but for now, it's more of a hobby seeing the fandom activities.
Yeah. So you write original fiction as well as fan fiction?
Yeah. Actually, that's something I started with before I even knew that fanfic was called what it was. So it's, you know, there's always that weird bit of transition. And in the end, I ended up doing both, depending on inspiration mostly.
Yeah. You were nominated by Danai. How do you know her?
Well, we've met, actually, through the Shadowhunters fandom. I'm not sure when we were actually introduced to one another, but it was a while back. It's, you know, Doctor Who also happened to be a common interest, which I didn't expect, since the two don't always mix well.
Okay.
I mean, fantasy, sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah, there's probably... I mean, but there's bound to be some overlap. Like, I know quite
a lot of people
who like both.
Yes, yes. And with Shadowhunter specifically, it's a bit of both. I mean, in the show, they have so much technology.
Yeah.
And Doctor Who is always a bit on the fairy tale side as well, depending on the writer. So, yeah, definite overlap.
So, we already know that you're in Shadowhunters fandom and you're in Doctor Who fandom. What's your fandom history?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
Well, you're only 22. How much can it be?
Well, I mean, I started off with Harry Potter and, with writing. Reading has always been a thing for me.
Yeah.
Starting with the Chronicles of Narnia back in, when I was like 7, maybe.
Oh.
The first one I actually wrote anything for was Harry Potter. In 2012, I think.
Okay.
And I didn't even know it was called fanfic then. It was just, you know, a story, because there were some gaps that I wanted to see filled, and I just got on with it.
So did you write that just for yourself, or were you online for that?
Well, I started off on by myself, you know, old school notebooks and the like.
Yeah.
And then I actually found fanfiction.net, which started me off as a... It was the first platform I actually found, before even Tumblr and definitely before AO3, which is right now my main platform for this. I started sharing, people seemed to enjoy it, so I started sort of working on longer projects, I guess, and in the end, more fandoms.
More fandoms. So, what kind of fan are you? Do you have like one ship, one OTP? Do you multi-ship? Are you in several fandoms at once?
Yeah, it's mostly the latter, I think, because, you know, I'm both a multi-shipper and an OTP kind of person, because, you know, a lot of ships happen and they just have so much potential, but at the same time, there's this one that's just, you know, just clicks.
Yeah.
And, in that case... it was the Doctor and River, which is quite impressive just to settle on one ship, given how long the show's history is, actually.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, I think with smaller fandoms like Harry Potter, you always get, you focus on a certain storyline, you know, and here it's just there's just so many directions to go in that I couldn't help myself. And so I've been in this fandom for maybe... 5-6 years now, and I haven't always written for it, but I just always come back to it, I think.
Yeah, and in some fandoms you're more of a multi-shipper than in others.
Oh, yes. Yes, with Harry Potter that happened to be... I just mostly focused on the Slytherin gang, you know, just the junior Death Eaters, maybe, like the Malfoy family, the Black family, Lestrange sometimes. But I just happened to stick in the same portion of the fandom. But then with, for example, Shadowhunters, there's just so much going on there. Even if you look at my account, there's just a lot of it. But with Doctor Who, I think something that really clicked for me there with that particular ship, that storyline, was that it just goes on for so long. And the creators, you know, there are so many types of canonical content for it, like the show, comics, books, Big Finish. Yeah. And you see this character who, I mean, River in this case, who goes hopping around the main character's timeline. And sometimes she just makes him forget about it if she's in the past, which is awfully convenient. But it works for me, and it definitely works for writing and any kind of creative outlet that you choose to focus on.
And it gives us more content.
Yes.
I mean, otherwise we wouldn't be able to have her interact with any of the previous doctors.
Yeah, it's just so easy to just retcon it if you need to. Well, you know, she made him forget. It's fine.
So maybe just for people who aren't as familiar with River and with Doctor Who, maybe just a few words to describe her, to introduce her.
Okay, so that might take a bit more than a few words.
Yes, it's not easy. I know,
yeah,
I know.
It's a complicated
She's a very timey-wimey sort of person.
Yes. So if we assume that the person, the people listening to this don't know much about the Doctor as well, he's a time-traveling alien who just changes face, personality, you name it, it happens.
and he also switches the people that he travels with.
Yes, he has the companions, yes, people who travel with him. And he's thousands of years old, he travels through time and space in a box, in a bigger on the inside box called the TARDIS. And as for her, she's actually the daughter of two of his companions.
But we don't learn about that for a long, long time.
Yes, a long, long time. I mean, actually, what fascinated me the most about her at first was that she was introduced by her dad.
Yes!
I mean, the first thing you see her do is sacrifice herself for the doctor. We don't know why, even.
Yeah.
He's just really important to her. He has no idea who she is, and she just goes and does this.
We just know she has this. She has this diary that's the shape and color of the TARDIS, and she talks to him like she knows him.
Yes, and he doesn't have the slightest idea who she is. But there's a promise of more. You know, she says you have all of that to come, and you just know that she's going to be someone important. He doesn't even say why.
Just for the record, that's the Forest of the Dead, Silence in the Library, two-parter in the David Tennant era.
Yes, there's actually something interesting about that I was just thinking of the other day, because, you know, with the diary, she mentions things that she thinks he might have already experienced that happened with a different incarnation.
Yes.
And initially that was, as far as I'm aware, behind the scenes, because they weren't sure if Tennant was going to stay for another season, which he ended up not doing. But in canon, later on, the writer of the series, Stephen Moffat, explained it as the fact that when she knows that it's him, it just whatever the face is, it makes no difference for her. She sees the same person.
Yeah.
Which I think was really, really sweet in a way, because he changes into all those different personalities and people, and it just doesn't matter to her at all. She just knows it's him, so it's the doctor. Who cares?
So were you watching the show before River's first appearance?
Well, it's a bit timey-wimey in that direction too, because actually the first Doctor I saw was 11, but for maybe like 2-3 episodes at most, and then I started watching it from season 1, I mean the 20,005 one, and just met her there. But you know, the first time I actually saw her was Time of the Angels.
That's which is another excellent one.
Yes, which is one hell of a first appearance to make. I mean, even if you don't know who she is, I was
It works. It works along the similar lines as with Tennant. I mean, the Doctor knows her name, but he doesn't really know anything.
But that's
else
about
at
it.
That
yes,
point.
Yes, and it's it's in the same direction, because you know, she just knows he's going to show up and save her, and you don't know how she knows that.
She knows exactly how to manipulate him.
Yes, she knows how his mind works.
Yes,
and,
she does.
And that's a very unique thing because no one else around him has any idea.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's actually what made me fall in love with the character to begin with, because she's just so many people say that she's so overpowered because she knows everything, she knows what to do, she knows how to fight, she knows how to be sensitive. But I actually think that's one hell of a multi-layered character.
Yeah.
And to go back to the introduction to her, that's actually the thing that's the most interesting about her, I think, because you see her from the doctor's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You see it all backwards. And in the end, somewhere mid-series, you just see her where she starts. She doesn't even know her name, that name that she goes on.
Yeah. Yes.
Later. And it's...
That's in Let's Kill Hitler, right?
608. Yes, yes. And it's fascinating because it's just... You see her in a different light. And I think that's... it just opens so many doors, especially for fanfic, because there's so much to do with such a character. I mean,
yeah.
The way she was raised, she was raised alongside with her parents, which not many people get to say, honestly.
Yes. And looking back, it's so funny because Amy mentions her friend Mel.
Yes.
And we have no idea at that point.
Yes, exactly. And she was born to kill the doctor, technically. That's mentioned in several times. And it's brought up occasionally, but just to think of it, all the analyzing you can do with that, there's a lot of ways you can actually analyze this situation. Because, I mean, she goes from this to his wife. And we see so many different versions of her through his eyes. And we, as an audience, are starting to guess who she is. Or at least what kind of relationship she has to him before he actually knows.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he says, you know my name, and there's only one reason I could tell you that. I mean, we were all thinking it at that point.
Yeah.
He wasn't, but at the same time, everyone who could have shipped that started shipping it around this point, I think.
Yeah. I know that some people later on thought that things were getting a little bit too convoluted. Like, you know, Moffat was... being Moffat and just kind of like, I mean, and I see their point, and like it did kind of turn her entire life just revolving around the doctor.
Yeah.
But then I like that we keep seeing her having her own adventures as well.
Yes. Also you have all those books, which is off screen, obviously. And not everyone's going to know that. But at the same time, you get hints, at least, from what she's like in her, I mean, actually in her last appearance on screen, the Husband's River song. Yeah, you get, even the doctor says it's just, is this what you're like when I'm not around? Because he has no
which
idea.
I really liked. I really liked that.
Because she knows, he knows what she's like, but at the same time he doesn't know.
Yeah.
He guesses it a lot of the time, that she spares him some of the details, but at the same time she tries to hide the damage a lot of the time, which I think is... something that was criticized a lot by a lot of the audience, but I think it was a very interesting part of her character, because she's not a very considerate person usually.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. She's, but
she,
at the
she
same
calls
time,
herself a psychopath.
Yeah, and she's at least halfway right. I mean, she was raised to be a killer, but at the same time, when it comes to her parents and to him, you get all those moments in which she just bites back her own feelings, her own interests, and just does what she thinks is best for them.
Yeah.
Even if it's, I mean, including her introduction, she doesn't even let him do what he was going to do. She hits him in the face so she can die in his place, which I think is a very good summary of their relationship in general, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that her very first appearance, and I really like her last appearance in The Husbands of River Song, because...
Yeah.
For the first time, I think, they're on the same page in that episode. I mean, once, you know, she realizes who he is. But then they're, for the first time, they're actually on the same page.
Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise you get just so much... Either he doesn't know her very well, or at all. And he's suspicious because, of course, he is. How could he not be, given the circumstances? And then you get her, as in Steel Melody, who... She knows that he knows everything about her, but... She has no idea who he is. She has no idea what's going to happen. And in the end, that last scene at the Singing Towers, you just get this conversation where they both know what's going on, what's going to happen on from here. And
yeah, the only secret that he's keeping at that point is how she's going to die. Everything else is on the table.
Yeah, exactly, because she knows that maybe the end is coming. But
because her diary is full.
Yeah, her diary is full. But at the same time, she's not afraid of it. She doesn't even need it to be forever. She just, quote, needs time, unquote.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, time is all they have, as it so happens. And this being one of their just last lines of screen was, I think, very meaningful in that way. Because time was never really, didn't really work for them that well. I mean, they kept meeting in the wrong order. But at the same time, you just get all those scenes where I think this relationship just reveals a lot about the two of them in general.
Yes.
Especially with Eleven, which, and I'm not just saying that because he's my doctor, but, you know, because he's the one she married. And he's the one she studied all her life. And in the end, she made the conscious choice to save him. And I think in that way, a lot of the criticism about how she doesn't, she's at no point given her own choice about any of this is a bit of a, it's actually just straight up wrong. Because a lot of what happens is her choice. She could have let him die. I mean, she should have let him die. That was everything in her training was leading her to this. But at the same time, she just decided that he was worth it. And I think just the regeneration energy that she gives at that point, you know, because she's not actually a Time Lord. She's not a kind of friend. She's a human.
Yeah.
And
just a human with a bit of, bit of Time Lord in her.
Kind of. And, and an extra heart, I think.
Yeah. Child of the TARDIS.
Yes, and it's so, it's just such a, in another way, it's a really heartwarming story, I think.
Yeah. By the way, it's my headcanon that he tells her his name at that point.
Yeah, I'm never sure actually about that because it's either that or I was thinking
or it happens off screen, which I think would be sad.
Yeah, I most of the time I actually think it happens off screen because we obviously don't get it at the wedding.
Yeah.
But she does know it by the time of Name of the Doctor, which is 7:13, where she says that she has her way of convincing him, but it's at no point mentioned whether he gave it to her as his last dying words or
I figured that was my if he doesn't, since he doesn't tell it to her at his wedding, which is why, you know, where my mind went to, you know, when he said there's only one time that I could tell her my name, that my first thought was wedding, but since it's not the wedding, then I'm like, is it death? Is this when he thinks that he's dying?
Yeah, what actually throws me off a bit is the way she responds, because it's just, I'm sure she knows.
Yeah.
And at this point, she doesn't know that she is River. So I was thinking either his name, because, you know, if this woman is someone he knows very well, then of course she knows his name. Or at least that's what Melody would assume. But I was thinking along the lines of maybe tell her I forgive her. I love her, which is the, you know, the fandom classic.
Yes, but then would she be as surprised by the fact that he loves her in The Husbands of River Song? You know, she still doesn't quite believe that he loves her as much as she loves him.
Yeah, I think that's actually an ongoing problem for her because, you know, the time she meets him in The Name of the Doctor, which is just a projection from the library, she's had all those times with him. You know, and at the same time, she just, their last moments together, she tells him something along the lines of, if you ever loved me, say it like you're going to come back.
Yeah.
So I don't think she's actually quite convinced until literally the last possible moment. Which is another interesting thing about her, because, you know, it makes sense, because the first time she met him in her own personal history, she tried to kill him. I mean,
yeah.
It actually can't make much sense to her that he's going to love her enough to just...
Well, the very first time she met him, she was a little girl.
Oh, yes. Yes, that time. Yes.
That was before she was brainwashed.
Brainwashed, yes. But, yeah, actually, there's that. And I think that's why a bit of her hero worship stuck around all this time. Mm-hmm. Because you get so many moments in which she calls him a god, a monolith, sunset, take your pick. But I mean, that also makes sense because at her oldest, she's what, 2-3 centuries old, and he's literally got thousands of years ahead of her. So
yeah,
he's
but he only gets thousands of years ahead of her in his 12th incarnation. Like at 11, he's about 700 years older than she is.
Yeah, yeah, which is yes, a bit more insignificant as a difference, I guess.
I guess age is really not that important if everything about you is new every couple hundred years.
Yes, which is another interesting thing because, you know, in the books you also get a lot of moments with her and Ten, who, mm-hmm. the Tenth Doctor, who just doesn't know a lot or anything about her, but at the same time he just feels drawn enough to her to keep trying to direct her in a different path. I mean, which I think is would be a very interesting thing to explore because at some point in one of the novelizations he talks about how maybe if he stays away, maybe if he tries not to approach her anymore, then she won't, none of that would happen and she wouldn't die. Which, yeah. You know, it would cause a paradox, so it's not possible. But at the same time, he's still trying. Which is why I think that at this point, he might have been a little bit in love with her anyway.
And, I mean, at least incredibly fascinated.
Yes, yes, because, you know, if you're willing to just break your own personal timeline for someone, that's a lot. Yeah. Especially someone you don't know anything about, apart from, like, a name.
Yeah. So, we have lots of thoughts about River, and we could probably talk theories and headcanons and everything for ages, but what's the rest of Doctor Who fandom of Doctor River fandom?
Well, it's a big one as a whole. I mean, the Doctor Who fandom, it's actually probably bigger than I can imagine, even though I've been around for a while. Because, you know, you get the classic fans, the new Who fans, and you get a mix of both. And just the... With this particular ship, it's funny because, you know, with the time memory erasing thing, you get a lot of appearances with classic Doctors. Which I think is a bit the thing that actually unites a lot of the fandom, the ship, shipdom, I guess. Because you get all those fans who may have not liked her as much initially, but then Big Finish happened, the Diary of River Song happened, and you get all those moments in which she make some sort of connection with the previous Doctors, which, if that's someone's fandom favorite, then they're going to listen and eventually probably love her.
Yeah.
So, I think there are a lot of fans that it's an interesting thing to explore because you get a lot of people who ship her exclusively with one Doctor. It doesn't matter which one. And you get people who...
So, they even only want 11 and River.
Yeah, or 10. Sometimes even 10, which... I think it's very interesting because they get so little screen time together and so much of it is spent with him having no idea who she is. But I suppose it is an interesting concept, I think, to explore how things could have gone differently with him.
Yeah.
And yeah, you get even the eighth Doctor who actually just gets one movie and obviously doesn't meet her on screen at all. But since it happens in the audio adventures, it's a thing now.
Yeah,
and
because he's the longest running Doctor in the audios, right?
Yeah, and the most productive one, and also the actor who plays him, Paul McGann.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's wonderful. Oh, you have? I'm so jealous. Yeah, he's wonderful for mode of scene, and he fits the part really well. Yeah. I think. And he's so.
And I'm so grateful that we got that mini episode.
Yes.
Night of the Doctor. That was lovely.
Yeah, right. I just loved it so much. I was actually hoping for him the episode 2, but that's as far as my luck went, I guess. But he talked about it too, about the ship, I mean, because there are at least a few audios with them. And there's some sort of spark there, so people latch onto it. It's inevitable in the end.
Yeah. And,
I mean,
and come on, Alex Kingston, the actress who plays River Song, she has chemistry with the Rock. I mean, she's
yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, exactly. She can always make it work, which is amazing actually, because all those actors are so different from one another, and she just makes it work.
Yeah,
every time.
Is there a River Song War Doctor crossover?
In
that
fandom,
would have been
probably.
Interesting.
I'm not sure if there's any canonical information about that yet, but there probably will be. I mean, come on. But the fandom has definitely produced some of it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah,
is
I think
there lots
it would
of
be
fan fiction?
Not quite as much as for, say, 12 or 11. But,
yeah.
But it does exist. And yeah, it's an interesting concept because, you know, he's a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like they would have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Honestly. Because he feels as if he was born to just be something else, not the Doctor anymore. So, yeah, definitely interesting. And I think she would like him, actually.
Yeah. So you said there's fan fiction and fan works for pretty much any combination of River and the Doctor. Is there like common tropes that people like to use, or like fanons that seem to be popular?
Well, a few of them, yes. I think so. The interesting thing is that this is a fun timing to be doing this in, because I actually haven't read a lot of this fandom for like 4 years now, but I am starting to just slowly get back into the scene again, and the interesting thing is that now you get so much more fanfic with 12, and even 13, they haven't even met, they probably never will, at least on screen, but you just get so much of it, and yeah, I think there are a few common tropes, which one of them is definitely some sort of escape from the library, because yeah,
mm-hmm.
there are so many ways to do it, theoretically.
Yes, I've only written one fic. And that's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, it happens so often that people don't usually bother explaining it anymore. Just, you know, she's alive, she's there. How it happens, nobody knows. But but it's just such a big thing. And I get why. Because, you know, he spent so many years with her on and off screen. Just there were a lot of pauses between their meetings. But at the same time, I mean, he met her in 3 of his lives that he remembers.
Yeah.
In all of them, technically. So it's just, there are always more possibilities. Another thing that seems to be big is some kind of meeting between her and at least 2 incarnations, which usually goes in the direction you'd expect it to. I mean, yeah. Because it's fanfic, but
yes.
At the same time,
isn't it in one of the mini episodes that there's 2 11s and 1 river?
Yeah,
so it's not even as if fandom came up with that.
Yes, yes, definitely. And she even says it in a different point because I think Rory is the one who asks about the Doctor, and she says, "Oh, that's a whole different birthday," because like she does acknowledge that it happened at some point. So I think that's usually an interesting one to play around with, which is something I'm actually playing around with right now.
Yes.
It's a work in progress because...
Is that your first Doctor Who fic, or have you written before?
Oh, I've written before, but again with so many pauses, because the first time I wrote for it was in, I think, 2013.
Okay.
Yeah, and then...
About River?
Well, mostly.
Yeah.
As it so happens.
I can't blame you.
You know, now that you say it, it's an ongoing theme for me.
Yes.
Yeah. But, yeah, and there are so many aspects of her to focus on because, you know, get the moments when she's still a child, all the way in New York, alone,
mm-hmm.
all by herself. And it's heartbreaking, you know, because she's just a kid. She has no idea what's going on. And then she grows up into this person who is always in control of whatever's going on around her. And that transition just takes time. A lot of time. And
then there's the whole fact that 13 is a woman now. So
yes. So
that's a whole new dynamic.
Yeah, that's a whole
and
new
And something
twist.
That she wouldn't necessarily expect.
Yes. Or wouldn't necessarily mind.
No, we know that she doesn't mind. She was married to what, Cleopatra?
Yes, I mean, she does mention a second wife, so it happened at least 2 times. And that's another popular headcanon, actually, that the second wife is, the first, but it's actually 13, yes.
Yeah.
Which is something I've heard a lot ever since Jodie Whittaker was cast.
Yeah.
Because...
I mean, not to spoil anything, but will you go that far with your fic? Which is called Deeper Than Time, by the way, and will be linked below.
Oh, will it?
Oh, yes.
Well,
I love it. It's only 3 chapters in, but I'm already completely obsessed.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, actually, that's why I think that this particular headcanon might be plausible, because, I mean, if she meets her before the Delirium, then she can't help tell her who she is without breaking the timeline, because she doesn't know that there's any more regenerations left, so it doesn't work that way exactly. But yeah. I've seen a lot of people just because, and that's actually because of something Moffat said, I think, about how, you know, they get 24 years on the Delirium. Yeah. And in that time, he mentions how she's definitely going to visit other versions of him and, you know, cheat on him with, well, him.
Yeah.
Which he wouldn't like very much, but at this point it could work, because she already knows that there's a whole new cycle and all that. But before that, yeah, it would be a bit more difficult to make it work. And yeah, I do realize I'm calling myself out right now.
By the way, are you going to explain how 13 managed to end up in New York? I thought she couldn't go there.
Well, yeah, that's actually covered by the Medlik TARDIS tag.
Ah, okay.
Which you know, the thing about River End 1938, which is the year which she spent as a detective in New York, is that she was there for a while. And, you know, the main purpose of that was because of Angels Take Manhattan. So she could pass the book on to Amy and all that.
Yes. And I know Eleven said he can't ever go back
to visit
Amy and Rory in that time. So I was just wondering, how does 13 manage it?
Yes, you know, I just, I cheated a bit there, because there's a book, I'm not sure if you've seen that one, The Angel's Kiss.
I think I've read one novelization or two, and none of them were that one.
Yeah, so, well, I'm not sure that counts as a novelization exactly. It's more of a prequel.
Okay.
Because, yeah, and it's about what happens before she ever gets there. Because, you know, when we see her in Angels Take Manhattan, it's she's trapped in some guy's house, and it's a bit of a strange situation all around, and the angel's there, and the story before that just talks about her. It's in first person, so the author doesn't bother specifying what's going on, actually, but she just spends a while there as a detective and picks up on strange cases, most of which are connected to the angels, and so yeah, I was just thinking of picking that particular moment right before Angels Take Manhattan starts. So that's, yeah, cheating. But she does mention keeping an office there for a while. So I just decided to go with that, because it's such a, I think it's a fascinating topic, because it's a whole different era, and she doesn't know that that's the Doctor, so it's a, her behavior's entirely different, and especially since 12 isn't in the picture yet at that point. So you just get the dynamic she had with 11, which I think was interesting to watch, because at so many points they were so disbalanced from one another. I mean, you get it from the wedding con mostly, but I think he's actually an interesting character and a very interesting incarnation of the Doctor, because he's a complex character, but not a particularly good person, I think.
Yeah, I mean, she tells him in The Angels in Manhattan, she tells him that she can't travel with him permanently, because only one psychopath per TARDIS.
Yes, and she does call him out on several occasions about that, because he does try, but he doesn't succeed very well at doing what he's supposed to do, at being a doctor. So, you know, I think if 13 and 11 were to ever meet, I don't think she'd like him very much, actually, because a lot of what we've seen from her so far, she goes directly against almost everything he was. And I do think that there's some overlap, but it's mostly who she is who he was trying to be.
Yeah, I thought the moment when she, in the episode before last, the Tsunangra-nundrum?
Yeah. I can't pronounce it either.
The one on the hospital ship?
Yes.
When she was like, you know, when she was about to hijack the ship, just because it was going, not going where she wanted to go.
Yeah.
That's not, she still hasn't quite settled yet.
Yeah, and I don't think she ever will, actually. It's just the Doctor as a character. I think there's always going to be that spark that's not quite what it's supposed to be, because actually I got a glimpse of that in last week too, with the demons in the Punjab.
Oh yeah.
Because you know that moment where she meets the monster of the week, and sorry, forgot her name right now. And she just says, "You're here to assassinate me," and she just, you know, accepts it. She thinks that's fair. So there was a glimpse of that, I think, and I'd love to see it explored, but that's just the kind of taste I have sometimes.
Yeah. And if they were ever to bring River back, oh, that would make my year.
Yes, even in the audios, she was actually mentioned in the comics already, I think, which I will have to do some research on, but 13 does mention her, and she just say, "My wife." Which actually made my entire month, I think, because it's just, you know, there was never any confirmation that it was going to happen that way. Because, I mean, it's a sensitive transition to do. Still, I mean, it's 2018, but...
there was this stupid moment when Jodie Whittaker and Alex Kingston were at this Comic-Con.
Yeah, I think
they took a picture together. And BBC, I think, treated us first.
The Doctor and her wife.
The Doctor and her wife. And then they actually redacted it and changed it to the Doctor and the Doctor's wife.
Yes.
As if it's a different person.
Yes.
Which I thought was just chickening out.
Yes, because the thing is that I'm not sure why they did it, because there wasn't even that much backlash. Because what would be the point? I mean, it's literally the same person. It doesn't make any sense to just pretend that it's something else, because it just isn't.
Neither one of them has ever, like, 12 would never have said that he's not married to her.
Yes, exactly. And she just obviously doesn't think much of the change. It's just so offhanded whenever she mentioned it, just like in last week's episode with, "They never let me do this when I was a man."
Yeah.
But she just goes with it, you know. And she just doesn't think much of it, because which makes sense, because she's an alien. I mean, it's a whole different species. It doesn't matter to them.
Yeah, it's like the guy who was pregnant, and he was like, "Of course I'm having a boy. Only boys have boys and girls have girls." That was, for him, that was normal.
Yeah, that's how it works, you know. And yeah, that exactly, because actually 12 mentions that too, to, I think it was Bill, how human perceptions of gender are a bit backward in Gallifreyan terms.
But at least we know that it's going to get better from Captain Jack.
Yes, likely. He does mention that, at least. Yeah, and I think that mentioning it even off screen is a step in the right direction, but seeing a mention on screen is actually what I really, really want.
Yeah.
I mean, is it a lot? Yes. Do I still want it? Yes. Because it just makes sense, you know. She has the same memories, the same personality.
Mm-hmm.
It would absolutely make sense to just be in love with the same person she's been with for hundreds of years, actually. You know, because River mentions being 1200 years old, and they've spent a lot of that time together, which is an awful lot of time to just change your mind on. I mean...
Yeah, theirs is definitely a love story like no other.
Yes, you can definitely say that.
Yeah, so we mentioned some like tie-in media, like the novels and audios stuff. So you should also make me a list of those, of like your favorites that I can recommend to people and also read myself.
Oh, okay, so
because I'm always up for more River. More River is always good in my book.
Yeah, same here. Actually, which is why I would recommend the Day of the Doctor novelization first, which, you know, she doesn't appear in the episode. But at the same time, in the book, it takes an interesting turn in that direction, because the first time we see her there is with Ten, which, it's an interesting... I'll see if I can find the quote right now. But the way it works is really fun to... to read about, because he still has no idea who she is, but he spends a lot of time with her just for no reason that even he can name. Just he wants to be there, so he is. And actually their first scene together is him telling her about his Zygon troubles and how he even apologizes for not coming to her in the first place. You know, so that's an ongoing thing for them already, apparently. Yeah. And the thing is that the setting is she's in her bed, she's taking a bath, and he's sitting there in the bath with her, fully clothed. And that's just such a thing to imagine. I mean,
seriously, for a kid's show, his relationship with River is awfully suggestive at times.
Yes, yes, which is why a lot of the really iconic clothes, I think the really telling ones, happened off screen, because you know, or in just web mini episodes like Night of the Doctor.
Even in the show, you, me, handcuffs.
Yes, and I'm quite the screamer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just, it starts there, but then there are a few more interesting mentions of her, one of which is in the same direction, where the Doctor mentions, I think it was a brother of his this time around, where he mentions her cloning herself.
Hmm.
Yeah, which is another implication that they can't really explore TV because this is daytime television. And also a few more, I don't know, sensitive ones in the portions where they talk about where he ever counted how many children died on Gallifrey. And she actually brings it up to him a few times. And you know, in the show, Ten asks Eleven how he could have ever forgotten.
Yeah.
And you get a few moments in which River actually brings it up, and different incarnations of him. She brings it up a few times with 10 and 11. And there's talk of this machine that they're trying to repair together, which erases bad memories. And she asks, and he deflects the question a few times. And then, in the end, off-screen, I suppose, he does count. And then it's very clearly implied that she deleted his memories of that.
Oh, okay.
Which, yeah, I think it's very telling of their dynamic, because, you know, she brings this up. She wants mm-hmm. him to remember, because she doesn't think it's good to repress it, and then she makes him repress it.
I wonder if they wanted Alex Kingston back for the episode, and then then something didn't work out.
Yeah,
because quite often novelizations are based on, like, a first draft of a script.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think because this is actually Moffat's first book at all, ever, as far as you know, he was free to do whatever he liked, because some parts of this are actually more brutal than they were in the show. I mean, at some point, 10 and 11 get into an actual physical fight. Yeah, and she enough for 11 to black out. And
okay.
which doesn't happen on TV, and it couldn't. I mean, it's supposed to be just such a celebration of the show, and they can't get into a fist fight on screen.
No.
And, you know, River is actually really special for Stephen Moffat. He worked on her storyline for years, so many years.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe sometimes I do see some of the criticisms that maybe he worked on her a little bit too much. Like,
yeah, because he doesn't.
He has sometimes the problem that he doesn't know when to say stop.
Yeah, actually, I think it was a very fascinating way of storytelling, because, you know, he stretched it over, what, a decade? And because this novelization actually came out earlier this year, I think it was in June, and the first episode was in 2008 with her, so he worked on it so much, he put so much thought into it, and yeah, so I get how it could be a bit of an issue, because this is a show that usually doesn't stay around the same topics for long, and he had not just her, but the silence and all that, he had just ongoing storylines that went on for tens of episodes. I mean, all his entire run is connected between each other.
Yeah.
Episodes, seasons 5 to 10, he just connects it all.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is beautiful, but at the same time, I can understand why it could be a problem for someone who's just used to it being a bit more, you know, freestyle.
And there's the problem that, you know, that he keeps having to kind of fix little things that, you know, that he wrote himself in a corner.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
he has
because
to tweak them in order to be able to keep telling his story the way he wants it to.
Yeah, and a lot of the time I think it just pulls the rug from right under your feet, because there's just so much of it that, I mean, the Pandorica storyline, and then last season there was the Extremis episode, which was typical Moffat, I think, because, you know, you get this entire storyline, you don't know where it's going. It just shows several scenes which seem to be interconnected, but you can't tell how. And then, in the end, you just get the whole, well, it's all a simulation thing, which just retcons the entire episode, and at the same time, it just, I think it drives an interesting point, and he does that a lot, because, you know, just it seems like straight up lying a lot of the time, but at the same time, he just sets himself up for something, and then he delivers, like, 2-3 seasons later. Which is a lot of time to just spend on a series. I mean, some people are going to drop the show in that time. It's inevitable. Yeah. So they're never going to get a resolution on whatever's going on. And with River, a lot of that happened, I think, because, you know, it goes on for just so, so long. And she doesn't actually appear that often.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's actually, what, 13, 16 episodes? Something like that. And at the same time, you feel like it's been going on forever.
Yeah. Yeah, that is
that's
definitely true. So, we could, like we said, we could talk about that forever. I can tell you have many, many thoughts.
Yeah, but you can't just stop me from rambling at this point.
Yeah, well, maybe to get back to the fandom and things that you would recommend that people who are interested in this pairing read and watch and enjoy.
I've actually got three specific recommendations, and I can also recommend you an entire author's, just everything she's written is perfect. Just,
do it. I will put them all together in the show notes for people to find.
She's still writing for this ship, I'm sure of it, because I just checked. Like I said, I'm just starting to tune in back into this fandom after a long pause from it. And but she's wonderful. I mean, she's been working on this ship for years, and she's wonderful. Yeah, so it's Goddess Del, which is like goddess, D-E-L. And she's been writing about so many incarnations, and it's so fascinating. I mean, I haven't written all of it, but everything I have read is just wonderful. And actually, one of the recommendations, the specific ones I mentioned, is hers. It's called Gazing into the Abyss. And it focuses on Mr. Clever. You know, I'm not sure if you remember that storyline, actually.
Mr. Clever. I'm trying to remember. Which episode?
That's the Cyberman. The Cyber Control.
Oh, okay. Yes, of
Nightmare
course.
Nightmare Silver. Yeah. And it's mostly just... It's so interesting.
I didn't put it together because she wasn't actually in the episode.
Yes, she wasn't. And this is like a missing scene at the, end of the episode. And, you know, it's an interesting dynamic because River talking to Mr. Clever, I mean, it's bound to end in disaster. And it does. So that's one of them. The other one I wanted to mention was... That's a bit longer as a title. It's When Passion's a Prison, You Can't Break Free.
Oh.
Which is sort of a missing scene, I guess you can consider it, to Day of the Moon. Which is the follow-up
this
to
the
Impossible Astronaut. Yes. And it's like a missing scene, and it focuses on her visiting while he's staying with that, you know, cage. At the beginning of the episode. So it's actually in the explicit category, but I think it's interesting in the terms of how it explores the relationship, because, you know, that episode at the end gets this really painful scene of their first / possibly last kiss. You remember that, I guess.
That hurt so much.
It hurts so much, yes. And this is a bit, it's actually something I found recently, and it healed my broken heart a little bit. And the last one is actually the only 12th one I got, and it's a coffee shop alternative universe.
Oh, which... so there are a use for that pairing.
Yes,
I was wondering.
Yes. Which is a funny thing to think about, because you know how would that work with the two of them as humans? I mean, it's just so such a complicated story that I'm not sure how they'd even meet and how this relationship would go the way it goes if they were just both human,
yeah,
and there was nothing supernatural going on. But it does exist, and I'm not actually usually I was going to say mundane, but human alternative universe person, but this one just works because I think it just captures Twelve's character really well, even though, you know, he's not the doctor, yes, and I don't think you'd easily imagine him as a human because he's just so unhuman by nature.
Yeah.
It's called But She Prefers Two Lumps of Sugar and Tea, and it's just it's quite longer compared to what it's 12,000 words long.
Nice.
And yes, and you know, it's just, I think it's an interesting exploration of how this could have gone if there were just two normal people living their lives.
yeah, okay.
Which, yeah, it shouldn't work, but it does. Which is probably what this ship in general is like, actually. So, yeah, that would be in terms of recommendations, I think. But, yeah, just a lot of the popular tropes are something that I'd recommend. Just the way their dynamic is explored it doesn't even matter which incarnation it is or which version of her is involved. It's just there's so much fic out there that's just like analysis of how it could have gone,
yeah,
what they could be feeling at any point, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, and this strikes me as a pairing where, you know, where like a use are almost unnecessary, because in the setting of Doctor Who, you can have historical, you can have sci-fi, you can have fantasy, you can have pretty much anything.
Yeah, and it's just explained
and
away by time
really
travel.
Like you said, it's really difficult to imagine these two as just people.
Yeah,
humans.
Because there's just in canon, there's so much going on that just, you know, it's time travel, so they can be at any point, anytime. There are even stories where fairy tales are real, so there's even that. I mean, you can do literally everything with it, and if it works with the two of them as just humans, then that's an achievement, I think.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Are there any visual media that you would recommend?
Oh, yes, there's that too. I mean, a part of the show itself,
yes.
Which I would definitely recommend. There are a few videos. Actually, I have an entire playlist of them, but I can't recommend all that. So I'm just going to quote a few.
Why?
One... you know, that's a fair point. I could just share that as well. There are a few that I found recently, which I think explore a darker light of their relationship, because one of them is based on strictly her and Eleven, because, you know, like we discussed here earlier, he's got some kind of control over her, in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't mean to, but he does, because...
She was raised to kill him specifically.
Yes, and he just knows everything about her the first time they meet, and one way or another, that's going to tip the scales in his favor. So one of them is just based on Toxic. The Britney Spears song, but it's,
every fandom needs at least one Toxic.
Yeah, this ship has so many of them, but this one is particularly interesting, I think, because it's just it's really honest about their dynamic without being, I'm not sure how to say it, but just it handles it really well, and it just makes you think about that, because, you know, he wasn't always entirely fair with her. She just there was so much going on. She was prepared for like nearly none of it, and for the majority of the time, she either didn't know very well who he was and just trusted him to tell her what to do and who she was, even, because he was talking to her as if she was someone he knew when she wasn't.
Yeah.
And at the same time, and later on, earlier in his story, later on in her own story, she's in love with him already. So he's got that going on for him. I mean, he knows that, I think. Because that's a few times that's just... I mean, it's insisted upon that he doesn't trust her, but he does know that she loves him. And there's a lot to do with that, which isn't particularly pretty, you know, because...
That's an interesting take on the relationship.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I like this video, because I'm gonna link that one too. Something else that could be, that work really well. I'm not sure, a lot of them don't even have names, you know.
Okay.
Which makes
I
it
just
a bit...
remember when I watched Husband of River Song, and that was, and the end was, and I literally sat down at my computer and I started reading.
Yes.
This song. Oh, I had so many feelings that needed to be expressed.
Yes, exactly, and that's what I did too, pretty much, but with fic. I just poured all of it into words because I didn't know what to do with it.
But you know, with her speech, that, you know,
yes,
you wouldn't be standing next to me.
Yes, yeah, that's actually, you know, that features in a lot of videos, yes, I think, because it's another just thing that's just so heartbreaking about her. That she never quite believed it, no matter what he said, no matter what he did. She always just, she never quite believed it.
Yeah. Until, hello, sweetie.
Yes.
From his side for once.
And then it's just another, she just turned a new page. She just started sussing him immediately. So, yeah, I'm going to link a few more things for you, because a lot of them don't even actually have names. Another
no
one
problem,
section...
that's what links are for in the show notes.
Yeah.
Are there, like, maybe, like, artists that do, like, drawings and paintings that you like?
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting question, because, as previously mentioned, that fandom is actually pretty... It's spread all around, so...
Because I know I've seen a few 13 River fan arts.
Yeah, yeah, that seems to be particularly popular right now, which I get.
yeah, and... we're all riding high on the 13 love train.
Yeah, yeah, and there was this one person, but I just can't remember the name, but I'm going to have to link it for you. I mean, there was this artwork I found of... the two of them, and also Amy, and it's just, it's obviously a sleepover, and she just says, this is not how Girls' Night was supposed to go at all. which I will just have to find, because it's delightful.
Yes, you have to, because I haven't seen that one, and now I need to.
Oh, yes, yes, I'm definitely going to link that for you. And another one which I think you did see, was the one of 13, just a convincing River that they have to go for another wedding with the rope, because, you know, like last episode and the wedding. Yeah, and she just River just says, you look lovely, sweetie, and you know, it's wedding number I think it was 247, because they have probably done this a few times already. And there was also this one that was the two of them, and both dressed in red, with just the lady in red tagline, which appeals to a different kind of interest, I think. But, yeah, it's definitely... Yeah, with 13, there's just so much going on right now, which you wouldn't expect, considering that she probably won't even appear on screen, but the imagination runs wild. It's inevitable.
We can hope. We can always hope.
We can hope, yes. At least in Big Finish. If they let Big Finish go anywhere with this, it would be amazing.
Even if we probably have to wait for Big Finish with 13 until after she finished the TV show, which she hopefully won't for a long, 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 long time.
I hope so too. I definitely hope so too, because it's just her first season and she's already doing amazing, I think.
Yeah. And we deserve a doctor who sticks around a few years.
Yeah, at least two more seasons. I mean, it's only fair.
Yes.
Yeah, well, actually, I literally just right now saw another one that I need to send you, which is 13 and River again.
That's the noise of your keyboard going, right?
yeah, it is. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Yes, and also another one which I found yesterday, which was... River and 8, which is a bit more of the maybe not quite safe for work site, but not entirely. I mean, just a It's just suggestive a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to send it to you
yes,
because it's worth
yes.
it.
Do so.
There's
so,
a lot of content for a ship that's usually quite controversial, you know.
Because it's a family show, or...?
I'm not quite sure, actually, but, you know, that ship does get a lot of criticism. Not quite as much as it could, given that it's canon, but
yeah.
because that protects it somewhat, you know. People are usually braver when it's not. But it still gets a lot of, you know, that doesn't work for me and all that. But it is still quite popular, which... Cause it's probably just a lot minority, but it's still, you get usually so much discourse in a fandom this big.
Yeah, I
it's inevitable.
Imagine. I mean, as much as I ship this ship, I pretty much just watch the episodes and whatever crosses my Tumblr dash.
Yeah, exactly. Especially fans that are a bit more, you know, chill about the whole thing. But then you get the hardcore fans, which always have... so much meta and whatnot going on.
I mean, meta is awesome as long as, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
as it
awesome.
Doesn't harsh anyone's squee.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because, you know, meta as a whole, it's not supposed to do that. You know, it just analyzes. And,
yeah.
Yeah, otherwise it's just bashing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's not as much of it as there could have been, considering that this is an enormous and very odd fandom.
Mm-hmm.
People are usually actually quite open-minded, which I appreciate a lot.
So
yeah.
Do you have anything else to share?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. I think that's about it. Which, apart from the encouragement that do get into the fandom, it's very welcoming. Sometimes.
Where would one go?
You know, you mean...
Is there, like, lots of activity on Tumblr, or...?
Yeah, Tumblr.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that's the best one for it. But because, you know, you get a lot of just gifs and art and
mm-hmm.
even fanfic links. But AO3 is also a good place because it's updated quite frequently because it's, you know, the hotspot
yeah.
for fanfic right now. So, and the filtering is really nice for that because, you know, you can just click the one ship and just get all the incarnations.
Yeah, that is
which
true.
Which is both convenient and an inconvenience, depending on what you want.
Hopefully people tag both. That would be good, because then
yes,
one can...
Yes, that's usually what happens, because, you
yeah.
know, you get the general tag, and also the more specific ones, so people know what they're getting into.
Yeah. So, should we wrap this up?
Yeah, I
yeah.
think that's about it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we've talked... let me check. How long did we...
It's been a while.
Yes, I mean, I will edit it a little bit, but yeah, it will definitely be an hour, which
oh,
is
yes,
okay,
yes.
which is about what I'm aiming for.
Oh, okay, so
yeah.
that's fine then.
Yeah,
not too much rambling, I suppose.
It was awesome. I love talking to you because you have so much knowledge and passion.
Oh, likewise. I'm just it's been a pleasure because it's just you know, it's such a wonderful topic and. To discuss it with someone who's also passionate about it, it's great.
So, who do you nominate? Who will I talk to next? I'm curious. Will we leave
okay.
my comfort zone?
I think you might. So my nominee, which more of a suggestion, would be Kimi, which I'm not sure if you know her. She's on Tumblr. Kimiko.
Yes, I know her because we also share... the pairing off from last week.
Oh yes. And she is very enthusiastic in the Marvel Cinematic Universe fandom.
Oh yes, I've noticed.
Yes, and
none of which is my ship, so this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, yeah, because you know, you mentioned the comfort zone.
Yes, exactly.
which this might be a bit out of.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the whole idea about this podcast. I don't want to just talk to my friends about things that I love.
I think actually the ship she mentioned was, I'm not sure what they called it, Science Bros?
Ah,
which
Tony Bruce.
Tony and Bruce, yes. Which is interesting, because I hadn't heard much about it before, but apparently it's quite big.
Yes,
and,
yes. It was. It exploded after the first Avengers movie, when they
yeah.
drive off in the Corvette.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, in a fandom this big, there's almost no such thing as a rare pair, but I haven't considered that, and it's, apparently works for her, so
yeah.
That might be a fun topic to explore.
Oh, great, great. So hopefully we'll talk to Kimmy in 2 weeks about the Marvel Cinematic Universe and Science Bros, aka Tony Stark and Bruce Banner. And lastly, if people want to stalk you online, find your fic and everything, where can they do that?
Okay, so there's Tumblr, which is a place where I go by Mia Zeklos, which I could spell, but I think it's pretty straightforward as a name. And
it will also be in the show notes.
Oh yes, okay. And I go by the same name on AO3, just there's an underscore between the two names. And that's about it. Actually, I go by that everywhere. So, you know, if you want to find it, yeah, it's just fanfiction.net too, although that's a bit of a different territory, you know. But yeah, that's about it, I think, as far as fandom presence goes.
Okay, great. Great. Again, thank you so much. It was awesome.
Likewise, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, I'm glad we got all the technical issues sorted out in the end.
Out of the way.
And
yes.
Got a nice long chat in.
It was wonderful.
Goodbye. Bye.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea, to a land across the sea.
So, this wraps up the second episode of the Shipping Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the interview and can't wait to dive into the links provided in the show notes, which you can find on Tumblr at ShippingCast or under shippingcast.fandomish.net. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcasting platforms. I'm on Twitter as shipping_cast, and you can email me under shippingcast@fandomish.net, where you can also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'd love to hear from you. The next ep should be up in 2 weeks, featuring Kimmy and the pairing of Tony and Bruce from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, i.e. Science Bros. The podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. I'm Shirazade, spelled Shirasade, and you can find me as such on Tumblr and AO3 on shirazade.net, as well as on ko-fi.com/shirazade, should you want to help me purchase pro accounts for the podcast and eventually a proper mic. You can also help me by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. For now though, thanks so much for listening, and remember, you are the captain of your ship.